I'm Beth Carroll here with Jan Edwards. She's president of the Paving the Way Foundation, an organization that works against human trafficking. And we are going to talk about that in light of Human Trafficking Awareness and Prevention Month. January 11th is Human Trafficking Awareness Day. And Jan, why don't we actually give a little insight into Paving the Way Foundation, why you established this, as we make our way into talking about the prevention?
Sure, absolutely. And thank you again for having me on today. Just really appreciate it. So our journey started 8 years ago when I was in Ethiopia, and I was there on a medical mission, and I, was sitting in a white van. And if anybody's done a medical mission, you know you're tapped out at the end of the day. All you want to do is eat some food, take a shower, and go to bed. And that's what it's like for me. And I'm looking out the window, and I saw two older men, two younger girls, and it just didn't feel right. You know, that annoying feeling, you know, in your solar plexus. And I got home to my sponsor's house, both are medical physicians, and I shared with the husband what I saw. And he's like, oh yeah, it's human trafficking. Just very nonchalant about it. Like, hey Beth, you wanna go grab a cup of coffee? It's just, and I'm like, what are you talking about? And he said, Jan, Ethiopia has 4.5 million orphans. We're the number one source of human trafficking in the Middle East. He's looking at me like, where you been? Like, well, I live in Orlando, you know, happiest place on earth. We don't really talk about things like this. And when I got home, it just kind of, God laid it on my heart. And I got home and I started doing the research, and I found out Florida has the third highest number of calls to the National Trafficking Hotline. Now we do have, I think, the third or fourth highest population. So that's, you know, not that too surprising. However, you know, it goes California, Texas, Florida, then New York, then Ohio, then, you know, Ohio. Why is Ohio up there? So it's not so much about population. It's also about what's happening, and that our population, luckily in Florida, is educated enough, because there's, you know, several of us out here doing, having this conversation, that people know what to do. So I've been on that mission for the past almost 9 years. It was 2013 that I went to Ethiopia, and we've educated over 16,000 kids in the past 4 years, soon to be five. And Orange County, which is where we are, and I know this is played in other places, but Orange County, Florida, we have the second highest number of child trafficking cases. So when I came back and realized that our children were the targets, I really wanted to get with parents, because they're our frontline defense. And it's a really uncomfortable topic. I was actually having this conversation last night with some city commissioners. And they're like, it is an uncomfortable topic for a parent to talk about. And I said, I know. And that's why I developed our curriculum to go into the schools and talk to the kids. And then we also have our monthly parent tech talks, so we can really empower parents to have this kind of dialogue. And we also have tools on our website so our parents can download this information and be equipped and prepared to have the conversation way ahead of time. You know, the average age now is dropped from 11 to 14. It's now dropped to 10 to 13 as the age of recruitment. So you're talking fourth, fifth grade. And every kid I know that age has one of these things. So
you're holding up cell phones.
Yeah, cell phones. Has one of these things called cell phone. Or one of my friends that works with Homeland Security calls it an interstellar device, because you actually can talk to the space station via your phone. So, you know, we're handing our children this incredibly powerful tool. Most of us didn't grow up with that kind of tool. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a BlackBerry, I had a flip phone, you know, all the stuff that we had when we were younger, but the predators know that, and they know where to go find our kids. And it's
all right,
my
let's
job
back up,
to go talk to kids. Sure.
Yeah. Let's back up a couple of things you said. So you started with, it's not just about the population, it's about conditions. But there are parents everywhere. So there must be something specific to the conditions in our area. I'm guessing, for example, tourism and conventions and things like that are a part of it.
Well, you know, there we're all familiar with Sheriff Grady Judd in Polk County. He likes to do those stings about once a quarter. And a lot of times when they've done the sting, they've arrested people here on vacation. You know, dad said he went out to go get ice cream, and meanwhile, he actually thought he was interacting with an underage girl, and he was going to go have sex with her. So tourism plays a part of it. The transient nature of our state plays a part of it. You know, a lot of people don't know we have high agriculture here. So there is a transient nature to that. We also have, as you know, high tourism in the summer. Everybody hires more people in the summer. So people will come here and work for 4 or 5 months and then leave. So there's a lot of transient fluidity of our population. And then, of course, we have the millions of people that come here every year to really enjoy not only our fabulous weather, but, you know, our theme parks.
Okay, so that's sort of the environment that allows this to proliferate. Mm-hmm. But,
But here's the other thing, though, too, Beth, that I got to address is, in particular with the past 2 years, you didn't have to leave your house to be targeted. I'm holding up my cell phone. Predators are going to go where kids are. And for the past 2 years, they've been stuck at home, you know, or go to school, come right home, no extracurricular activities. And there they are on their phone, bored. And predators know that. And so kids don't even have to leave their houses to be targeted.
All right. And I do want to mention again, we're talking about human trafficking. So if you're maybe in the car with somebody younger and you think that this is not the right topic and time, but we do want to address this, particularly for parents, to let them know that this is, we think about Ethiopia where you began. Okay, well, that makes sense. It's somewhere over there. But you're talking about right here, the happiest place on earth, as you said. So let's hear how parents can address this.
Sure. Where if you're a parent in a car with your child, I encourage you to leave the radio on. Okay. I know this is a difficult topic. I really do. I really get it. I'm a mom, right? Now my daughter's an adult, but it's a challenging topic and it's weird to talk, not only to talk to our kids about sex, but to talk to our kids about exploitation and sexploitation and what can actually happen online. So I'm going to give you a real life scenario. Parents, I know this is uncomfortable and I'm just asking you to bear with me. And I will lay odds that by the end of this time and you have a conversation with your child, they'll be like, oh yeah, no, I know about this. They actually are more informed potentially than you are. So there's a little girl in Apopka. She's 11 years old and she was groomed online. And what I mean by groomed is it starts off very simple. And predators use bots to send direct messages out to kids. And, you know, oh, gee, you're prettier. Oh, I see you like this band. Or, oh, gosh, I like soccer, too. Because we post our entire lives on our social media, right? Especially kids, they say where they're going, what they're doing. Look at my new outfit. I just went shopping. Here's my favorite food. They share their whole lives on there, not even thinking because their prefrontal cortex isn't quite cooked yet. So, you know, not even thinking that someone would potentially use that against them, okay? And so here this child posts this normal stuff, somebody swoops in. You got to remember the past couple of years have been a very challenging environment for our children, right? Our parents are dealing with stuff. There's stuff going on out in society. There's stuff happening in our community. There's stuff happening inside our families. And our kids are picking up on all of it. And so here's this person online going, oh gosh, I love soccer too. They send a DM. Now the kids might vaguely remember their parents saying, don't friend everyone online unless you know them. Okay, not a problem. So maybe they go check out their Insta page. Maybe they go, you know, check out who else knows them. Maybe they've got a couple of acquaintances and maybe the all the pictures look normal for a 14-year-old boy or girl, right? Either way. And, you know, yep, they have pictures on there about soccer. And yep, they have, you know, they're at the beach with their friends or whatever that is, right? And it looks like a normal human being. So you click yes to the DM and you accept it. Now, again, you got to remember the context for the environment. Our kids are lonely. They're confused. They're scared. They're concerned about what's happening out in the world. They pick up on all that energy, right? So here's this person kind of offering this space to kibitch with, right? To kind of, yeah, my parents are this too. Yeah, my parents this too, or my friends this, or my teacher. You know, they start to build this bond over a very short amount of time. And the next thing you know, a little girl's writing a note to her mom, crawling out her window and getting in a car with a 26-year-old that drove down from Georgia to pick her up. This man groomed and recruited this little girl in 8 days on Instagram. And this little girl came from a good home. Because see, that's the thing about child trafficking and child exploitation. It knows no boundary, no socioeconomic boundary, no demographic boundary, no geographic boundary. Our children are as vulnerable in Biflo as they are in Winter Park, as they are in Paramore, as they are in Windermere. So it really doesn't matter if your child has a cell phone. It's a really great opportunity to start having conversations with them. No lecturing, but being in the inquiry. You know, and if you're a parent listening to this without your kids in the car, or if you're listening to it via podcast, right? I invite you to start asking some really great questions that you'll find on our parent toolkit on our website, which is pavingthewayfoundation.org. And it's a great way to start the conversation. And it's super simple. It's like, gosh, I was listening to this interview today, and they were talking about child exploitation and how people recruit kids over Instagram. Have you ever heard anything about that? And then you just shut up and you just listen. And they might go, no, not really. Mm-mm. And you go, okay, well, I just thought it was kind of interesting that, you know, I don't know if you remember that article about the 11-year-old that, you know, got groomed and recruited on Instagram. Did you hear about that, honey? Yeah, maybe I heard something about that. Like, you just keep standing in the inquiry. And at some point in time, because teenagers, right? They love you one minute, they hate you the next. It's just kind of the nature of the beast, right? Is they're going to come around and go, Mom, remember that conversation we had? And you're going to, of course, go, which one? And you'll go, sure, honey, which one? Refresh my memory, I'm old, right? And they're going to say, no, remember when you talked about that Instagram thing? Yeah. It's like, well, I got a really weird DM, direct message, by the way. And it had some, you know, language on it that made me really uncomfortable. I didn't know what to do. And I remember you and I had talked about something. So, you just keep standing there for your kids. And at some point in time, they're going to come around because they're already feeling the pressure of being enclosed by the current environment. And if parents try to enclose more, it actually produces the opposite result. And that doesn't mean you're all lackadaisical. It's just, you just continue to stand and be in the inquiry of really what's going on. And there's so much information online because this is Human Trafficking Awareness and Prevention Month, right? The Homeland Security has the Blue Campaign. We have all kinds of information on our website, which is pavingthewayfoundation.org, that you can download it. There's videos on there you can watch with your kids. We have videos on YouTube that you can watch with your kids. We have so much information out there for you to get yourself educated. And that one of my friends, she said she actually sat her kids down in front of a couple of the videos on my Facebook page and then came back and went, okay, now let's go through them together and let's talk, right? So the child could actually absorb the information at their pace and then they could have a great conversation. And so it's really about empowering parents to be brave and courageous to have this kind of uncomfortable conversation that can literally save their child's life.
So a couple of questions now. Number one, I want to underscore the point you've made that this, you know, we might jump to sort of a stereotype of a young girl, but this affects young boys as well, right?
Yes, ma'am, it does. 30% of the kids trafficked are male.
Yeah. So let's be aware of that as parents. And then secondly, you know, you're talking about making parents aware, making the child aware, but then what, right?
Right.
And your child comes back and says, I had this weird message. What do we do then?
Well, you call your local law enforcement right then and there. You can call the because it's a non-emergency, right? You can call the non-emergency number and go, hey, you know, my child got an inappropriate message. I don't know if this person's really a 14-year-old or not. I'm going to make a police report, right? There's a young person up in Volusia County, 16-year-old, that was enticing 10, 11, 12, 13-year-old boys and girls to send them nudes so they can sell them. So what people don't know in the state of Florida, it's for anyone under the age of 18, it is against the law to take an inappropriate picture send an inappropriate picture, and host an inappropriate picture on your phone. So anywhere from a class one misdemeanor up to a class three felony. So what does that mean? You know, you're dating someone and, you know, you share pics. Okay, well, stop doing that because you can never get those pictures back and you have no idea where those pictures are going to go. The first thing. The second thing is class one misdemeanor. If you're caught the first time, you know, it'll be a class one misdemeanor. If you're under 18 and you do community service or whatever the judge, you know, gives you, you have the potential to have that come off your record. However, the 16-year-old up in Volusia County, they will be a registered sex offender for the rest of their life. And our kids don't know that, and our parents don't know that, because everyone, I'm doing air quotes, everyone's doing it. And when we go into the classroom and we have this conversation with young people, and I ask the kids, how many of you have younger siblings? You know, this is generally middle school, high school. A majority of them raise their hand. I'm like, great, let me ask you a question. Would you want your younger sibling's inappropriate picture on your friend's phone? I don't need to answer it. They get it. They get it immediately. And then I'll say, okay, great, stop asking for those pictures. You know, and the boys will get all uncomfortable and they get all squirmy. And then I'll ask the girls, I'll say, ladies, do you really think when a boy's asking you for an inappropriate picture, he has your best interest in mind? And they're all like, no. I'm like, okay, great, stop sending them. You're worth more than that. You know, and so it's really about empowering our kids to understand fully their worth and that they're priceless. And two, what they're doing in the state of Florida is technically illegal, right? So first thing you do is you call the police. Second thing you do not interact. Don't respond back. Take pictures of the messages, okay? Because the police will more than likely take your child's phone. Not all the time, but sometimes they will. Because how predators work in that environment is they send out hundreds of direct messages every single day, waiting for someone to bite, waiting for that little 11-year-old whose best friend just broke up with, you know, just said, I hate you and had made another friend, waiting for that 14-year-old whose boyfriend just broke up with her, waiting for that 13-year-old who might be a little sexually curious and somebody sent something and now they've sent a picture, right? There's a friend of mine, Lisa Haba, she's an attorney locally here, and she's working on a case against Twitter where two young boys were targeted specifically by predators. They didn't know they were predators. They thought they were talking to a 16-year-old girl. Conversation got intense. Pictures were shared. Now, of course, this wasn't a 16-year-old girl sending this little boy pictures. It was an adult using pictures of another person sending them. So they thought they're interacting with the 16-year-old. And it got really, really intense. They asked that this young boy to come meet them. And luckily he said no, right? So he thought that's the end of that. 2 years later, he walks into school and a bunch of his buddies are holding their phones up on Twitter and going, is this you? So this ring had taken all of those pictures and put together a pornographic video. Now the kid did everything he needed to do to ask Twitter to pull it down. They didn't. He was actually contemplating suicide. Luckily, the friend he was talking to called his mom. His mom prayerfully went and had a conversation with him. She reached out to Twitter. They did nothing. She was sharing with her pastor what was happening and just was at her wit's end. Luckily, he knew someone with federal law enforcement, and that finally got it taken down 3 months later. Well, not everybody knows somebody at the FBI or Homeland Security.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that because, you know, certainly we're talking about parents doing what they can do to be good parents mm-hmm. and protect their children. You've just given an example of what I'd like to talk about. And unfortunately, we're almost out of time, which is, unfortunately, there are so many young people out there that don't have advocates, whether they be parents or someone else. And right. when you talk about grooming, wow, there's a line there, isn't there, where maybe somebody's grooming you for bad intentions. And,
yes.
you know, so how do you know when somebody's truly being an advocate and a good mentor and a supporter of you and versus the opposite?
Sure. Well, I have a really clear rule. If I don't know you, you're not my friend. If I don't interact with you on a daily basis, or we don't go to school together, right? If we're not on a team together, you're not, you don't get to be one of my friends on social media, right? That's evident. The second point is I tell kids to trust their gut. They know when something's off. We do too. As adults, we do too. And most of the time we just dismiss it. With kids, I'm like, you got to tap into that. Because a lot of times when we go in and talk to schools, they get a little, well, I'm not trusting anybody. I'm like, no. The world's not bad. There are just bad people in the world. Now then, I go, I want you to trust you. I want you to trust your gut. I want you to trust your instincts. I don't care if it's your best friend's cousins, uncles, brothers, sisters, best friend that's going to have a party and they invite you. You're not going because you don't know them. Now you know your best friend. Your best friend was having a party, right? That's a separate conversation. And it's really getting our kids to trust themselves and for parents to create a safe space so our kids can have that conversation with them. And I know not every child has the perfect household. Quite frankly, none of us do, okay? But there are coaches, there are teachers, there are social workers, there are counselors at their schools. All of them have to go, well, the counselors in particular, all have to go through this training. And even just to have that one adult to come talk to and go, gosh, I got this message and it really bothered me because our kids are being bombarded, right? So it's really empowering our children to have that discernment, that distinction to be like, I don't know this person. This person doesn't know anybody that I know. I'm going to delete that DM and block them. I get them all the time and I'm clearly not 14, right? And I take pictures of them so I can show the kids. It's like, no, this is what it looks like, right? So it's, you know, trust your instincts. If you don't know them, don't accept the friend request or the DM. And start to talk to your parents about this. I believe our kids, well, I know our kids are our future, but I believe our kids can actually lead the way in this conversation. I think our kids can start educating our parents about it. And parents, I just invite you to be open. I know it's uncomfortable. Just take a deep breath, breathe through it, and listen. And try your very, 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 very best not to interrupt or interject. Just listen to what they have to say and bring some compassion to it because being a teenager right now is not easy.
Did you want to comment on the Ghislaine Maxwell trial?
Oh, gosh. Well, I have a lot to say about it. One, I'm very glad that she was found guilty. I actually personally know a couple of survivors of that, of the Epstein ordeal. So I'm very, it brought some relief. And, you know, now there's some question. And the challenges that I think we face right now is people don't choose, okay? They don't choose to be sexually assaulted multiple times a night. No one really chooses that. And to understand the manipulation and the coercion that takes place. And remember, our prefrontal cortex is not completely done until we're in our mid to late 20s, early 30s even. So with the intentional level of manipulation and coercion, it's just not okay that people are doing that to our children. It's just not okay. I really, really hope that this is the beginning of putting a lot of people away for the harm they're doing to our children that quite frankly can be prevented. I can't prevent childhood cancer. I can't do that. But this is something we can all prevent just by having simple conversations with our kids, with our friends, with our family, and with our neighbors. You know, and you keep your heads up, eyes open. I'm like, get your head out of your phone when you're walking around and pay attention because you just might be the one to save a life. And you know, we always give the hotline number. That's the best number to call if you see something that isn't right. You get that gut instinct. There's not one survivor that said, oh, gosh, I'm bummed someone called. No. So the 800 number, it's really simple. I'm going to give you guys a minute. If you're in the car with your kids, have your kids write it down. If not, you can pause it and come back later. But it's 888-3737-888. That's the National Trafficking Hotline. We call it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's anonymous. And if you see that thing at your, you know, local convenience store where you're getting your coffee or your iced tea, or you're at the mall and you see something unusual, or you're at the theme park and you see something unusual, you make that call. You just make that call. you could be an everyday hero and save a life.
And then final question, pavingthewayfoundation.org is where people can go to get those materials. Give us a thumbnail of the kind of educational materials people can find there.
Sure, we've got several. We've got a parent toolkit. We have a parent safety guide. I got a lot of calls last year about parents not knowing what to do when their kids go missing. So that is there. There's a teen toolkit as well, talking about the apps that predators will use and things to look for. There's links to our YouTube channel. We've got a lot of information. We have parent tech talks every single month. They're the third Thursday of every month on Facebook Live and YouTube. So you can always watch those. And I interview people from around the country, law enforcement, survivors, people that are allies, you know, really everyone, because everyone, principals, people that have a different take on this topic. And I'm just really committed that that information is out there and available to as many people as possible. And then also too, you know, we have a curriculum to bring into schools. And I know it's very weird right now, right? Just given the environment. And there are some schools that are being brave and they understand the impact of this. You know, we've got several local schools here and schools I've worked with, but really, quite frankly, all across the country. It's, you know, two 90-minute sessions that can save a child's life. And it actually has. We were up at a middle school in Seminole County, and less than a week after our training, a little girl got a direct message from somebody she didn't know asking for an inappropriate picture. And because of our training, she knew exactly what to do, told her parents, they called law enforcement, and they caught the person. So, you know, this training can literally save lives.
PavingTheWayFoundation.org. Jan Edwards is president of Paving the Way Foundation. I'm Beth Perrell.